Morning, Tom Kirschman, Wildlife Division Director. I'm going to have Andy Lindblom, our senior big game biologist, will take the lead on this one and walk you through that process and recommendation on elk contingency licenses. So, Andy.
I should have saved my briefly comments for Andy, I think.
I was expecting that anyhow.
Sure you were.
Well, good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, Secretary Hepler, Andy Lindblom here, senior big game biologist, rearranging a few things on my screen here. So, today it's just me. You had Trenton Halfley on your agenda, too. He's not going to be able to make it because he's elk hunting, and for some reason I'm not. So here I am today, and I've put together some information on our elk contingency licenses that hopefully will be of assistance to the Commission with this action item today. So next. So a little background maybe to get us started here on elk contingency licenses. This concept was really born out of the development of our first elk management planning process back in 2014 and 2015. And during that process, we heard from some of our constituents that we really needed a better way to respond to forage losses due to the impacts of short-term drought. Our normal license rules and proposal process, we were told, really had too much of a time delay from when we had drought versus when we could add additional licenses. So we really needed some additional tools for more immediate action, and hence really the development of our contingency licenses concept. Next, please. So in our management plan, we do talk a little bit about our contingency licenses. But I do want to reference one part in particular in our management plan, and that's our Objective 2, Strategy G, and that's where we talk about developing these rules that will actually allow for the allocation of a pool of antlerless elk contingency licenses. And these will be based on a percentage of the antlerless licenses available in the Black Hills. And these will be issued by commission resolution in August. Of course, now we're in September. If summer range conditions dictated basically that we needed to add additional elk antlerless licenses. So I think it's really important to focus back on what the primary objective of contingency licenses are, and the primary objective is to address summer range conditions if we're seeing some drought conditions. So after the adoption of the management plan by the commission did promulgate administrative rule. Shortly thereafter, I want to talk about one of those rules, and that's the rule that deals with maximum licenses. The commission by rule established a maximum of 20% of all antlerless elk licenses that are available for all combined Black Hills elk hunting units would basically be available as contingency licenses. So in summary, if we have bad drought conditions and the summer range conditions actually indicate that we need to harvest more elk, then the commission has the authority to add an additional 20% of antlerless elk licenses already on top of what we have for that season. Next, please. So how do we determine whether or not we're going to recommend contingency licenses to the commission? So next, I want to go over our evaluation process. So we meet a couple times a year, two to three times a year, to discuss current range conditions. And of course, we aren't the forage experts when it comes to Forest Service lands, which is where the bulk of our elk are. And we're also not the experts when you look at the big term drought and private land and forage production. And that really falls more on the shoulders of the NRCS, Natural Resources Conservation Service. So we meet with those folks a couple times a year, and we just had a meeting here this late summer. That's really what we're going to talk about here now. All three agencies get together and we talk about what folks are seeing on the ground. So we get field input from the Forest Service range conservationists, what they're seeing on the ground. And these are the folks that are out there. They're actually managing the Forest Service grazing allotments. So they have really firsthand knowledge of what's going on. And then from the NRCS, we get actual forage production. So they have a precipitation model that they use to estimate the impacts of drought on forage production across the state. And they put the web link there if anybody's interested. That link also goes to their drought tool, and some of you might be familiar with that drought tool. That's a tool that assists private landowners with with grazing management on private lands across the state based on drought conditions and habitat available. The model that they use for our forage production is basically that same model. And because forage production really is more than just a result of current precipitation, the model that they have is it takes a multi-tier approach, and they use a two-year weighted precipitation average in that model. In other words, they use the previous year and this year, and the previous year is weighted at 25% because that does have an impact on what we can grow this year. The model also weights value for key time periods. During mid to late spring, it weights it more heavily, precipitation that occurs then, and also during early fall, because those are the times when precipitation is critical to forage production. Other times of year, it's weighted less because it's not as important. The model also has a precipitation cap for months when you have high levels of precipitation, because we know after some point the soil becomes saturated and precipitation becomes just runoff, which is fine for other purposes, but for the purpose of forage production, you can't count all that for forage production, so the model considers that as well. And last but not least, their model is calibrated. Their equations are against actual vegetation clipping data, so they do have some validation to their model, and we're actually currently working on a project with them. The Forest Service, NRCS is involved, of course, Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation to further test and validate that model. But right now, it's the best model we have out there. So one of the advantages of meeting with local folks and working with local scientists from these other agencies is that we do have the ability to sometimes modify things to what we really need here as an agency. And NRCS has been a great partner in this. They've actually customized their model and the outputs to evaluate forage production for each one of our elk hunting units in the Black Hills. And we do this every year with them, as some of you know. We do this for the last week of August so that we have the latest and greatest vegetation data to evaluate whether or not we want to recommend contingency licenses. So just to summarize on the latest meeting we had, I talked about getting input from field staff on the Forest Service and then looking at NRCS's model. And the good news is that there's a consensus between the two agencies that the model is producing estimates that the folks on the ground are in agreement with. So that's some great news. Next. So the next thing we do is we look at our decision support table, and this is where we evaluate those forage production estimates from NRCS, and we look at those in relation to our actual hunting unit objectives in each unit, and we do this to estimate the number of contingency licenses based on a percentage of current allocations. That's a mouthful, no doubt. So let's talk about the table and break it down a little more here. So the first column is our NRCS forage production. That's what their model produces. And this is percent of normal. And this, again, we look at this for each one of our elk units. So here we have four different categories ranging from 100% or better to all the way down to 70% or less. And then depending on where you fall, which row you're on there, you go across the table and you look at where the objective is for that elk unit, and that helps you determine what percent allocation you would have based on the antlers licenses that you have in that unit. And as you can see, we vary that percentage based on what our unit objectives are. So for example, if we have an elk unit where our objective is to increase the population and we have less elk than desired, then we're going to be a little more conservative on what we recommend for contingency licenses. Whereas if we have a unit where we have too many elk and we want to harvest more, then we're going to be a little more aggressive with our recommendation. Next, please. So what's it look like this year? So here's a map of actual, this is the percent of normal forage production. It's probably a little bit hard to read there, but the scale there, you can see the green is normal, 100% or better. And then as you get into yellow, you start dipping below 100% all the way to red, and you could be as low as 70 or less percent from normal. So this map is of the Black Hills, and this is our antlerless elk hunting units outlined in black there. And you can kind of see, for the most part, in all of our elk units, we're looking at good forage production. But there are a few hot spots. The northern part of Unit 2, you can see some areas that are well below 100%. as well as down in Unit 3, in particular the southern part of Unit 3. So the map is really good to look at and evaluate, but just as important and probably more important from our table perspective is actually the values to the right there in that table. And this is the values across all the units. You can see the units is the first column, and then our minimum, maximum, and then the average. So we allocate, obviously, licenses on a unit-wide basis. And so we use that average, which obviously is an average of the minimum, maximums, and all the values in between. But we use that average to not only allocate licenses, but to make our recommendations for contingency licenses. And you can see there those blue values that almost all of them, the average forage production would be above 100%. There are a couple units that we just talked about, Unit 2 and Unit 3, that are a little bit below, but they're, you know, at 96, 97%. So still not too far when you look across the entire average. Now, obviously, we know areas that are lower than that, but we also have areas in that unit that are higher. Next, please. So where does that get us today? I think most of you have seen this table already, but to go over it briefly, this puts together everything. This is our analyst unit, the forage production value that we just talked about, what our objective is in that unit, what our analyst license numbers are for the 2020 hunting season, and then next, the contingency percentage, which we would base on the table that we just talked about, and we'd multiply that by the number of licenses to get the number recommendation. But as you can see, all of the forage production values are in that upper category of 90 to 100 plus. So you can see from the contingency table on the bottom there that we would be recommending no contingency licenses. So therefore, our recommendation for the 2020 hunting season would be no additional contingency licenses for this year. And with that, that's all I have put together, Mr. Chairman. I can sure stay around for some additional questions and discussion.
All right. Well, you know, this is an exceptional system. I was fortunate to be an observer and watch Andy and the rest of the department put it together in response to rancher concerns in that first elk group. And I mean, it's unique, it's creative, it's responsive. And I think it's very well received by everybody that is a stakeholder and seems to make it relatively easy for decision makers. So it's really well done, and it's been a pleasure to watch it and see how it's performed over the years. So as with Mr. Sharp earlier, I would like to congratulate you guys. It's just a heck of a job. Very well done.
Thank you.
Any questions? Comments?
Commissioner Beast here. Yeah, I kind of think it's a pretty good system that we have put in place right now. You know, I run on 7 different cattle permits in the Black Hills, and, you know, we haven't been, it's a little drier than normal, but, you know, plenty of forage, the water's holding up good for cattle. There hasn't been no talk about reducing cattle numbers for the producers this year because of drought. There might be a little concern on the fringes of the hills when you reach the prairie. You know, it's getting pretty darn dry, and there's production loss there. But for the main part of the Black Hills, I believe it's setting pretty good.
Any other questions or comments? Not. Thank you, Andy, very much. So we're to River Otter Management Plan,